For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record. 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 For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Welcome back to The Clink. This is part two of Brent's chat with Graham Henry. They talk bank robberies and the similarity between Graham and Bernie Matthews.
We talked about Bernie Matthews earlier, and I'm just going to touch on him again because that was something that he also made very clear. In all the banks that he did rob, he never once went in there with any intention to harm anybody, and nor did he. He never shot anybody. He never harmed anybody. Exactly. All he went in there for was the money. He just wanted the money.
That's right.
And there was no intention whatsoever. Why I'm bringing this up is because the mentality of someone going in for a stick-up. I mean, I've been charged with it. We were banky boys back in the days. We were pulling up in Porsches, running and jumping bank counters all over the city before they put the screens up. You know what I mean? That was what we did, but we weren't even tooled up. Because back then it was just steal from person or demand money with menace.
That's right. Demand money. That's right.
So, you know, you weren't getting done on an armed robbery. But the thing was, you never had that mindset. You were pumped, ready in case shit went down, but you never went in there with any intention to harm anybody. You're just there to get the money and get out of there. It's quite interesting that a man like yourself, you know, and how notorious the gang was, but at the same time, too, it sort of tells how professional you guys were to be able to execute these urns, these big robberies, and yet make sure that nobody was harmed in the process.
100%. Because, you know, the first thing that's going to do is draw the fucking crabs on you. You know, and they're going to be filthy on you. It's the last thing you want to do. You're just fucking doing moosey. And they come sniffing because they want to put their fucking hand out. Like when you're at the races in the old days, the consortium squad. You know, they'd be out there, they'd be watching you. Next minute, they'd be over there and putting out their hand so you can drop them something so they'd fucking leave you alone so you wouldn't get kicked off the track.
Really? You know what I mean? Well, talk about that for a second. No, when you say, like, okay, I've never even knew about that either.
And but we'd be at the racetrack and they'd be always sniffing around or turn up in a pub wherever you're having a drink, always putting out their hand. You know,
because we were
all knocking around together.
And was this because of that era of the SP bookies and all that sort of stuff and, you know, the corruption within the gambling and all this sort of you know, doping of horses and things like that? That was their whole existence was to prevent this from continuing to occur or, as you say, put their hands out and get fed.
But once that we're in that organised crime network, you know, once we were really locked in as that organised crime crew, then no copper would come fucking near us. I mean, I can remember one day just standing in fucking glee. I was sitting there with another bloke who'd just got out on a life fucking sentence. And we're fucking sitting in a car and we're waiting for fucking Buffhead Ned to fucking turn up. Next fucking minute he's driving down the road. Next fucking minute we're surrounded by all these fucking jacks, so he keeps going. So I was sitting there looking at the units we're sitting out in front of. You know, we're just going to hop in the car with him and piss off somewhere. We're going somewhere. Anyway, I got a fucking piece on me. So as they're searching the fucking car, no one's even paying any attention to fucking me. They're just ripping my mate's car apart. So I just fucking tapped him on the fucking back and just passed him a fucking gun. I said, here, you might as well take that. Well, the fucking look on their face, they shit themselves, right? So we hop in the car, they drive us up the police station. I said to me, mate, don't say a fucking word to them. Don't you say anything. I'll do the fucking talking. Just leave it to me.
So you were the one that had that octopus arm, as you say, and you're able to sort of say it was better off that your coey's just said nothing.
That's right.
And you dealt with whatever
was. They pulled him upstairs. Now, he didn't do a thing. He hadn't done anything. I was the one with the piece. So I'm downstairs. They got him upstairs, and they're trying to fucking stamp him. You know, and anyway, he fucking ended up getting the bloke to come down and fucking give him some money. Like, and I told him not to fucking do that. Anyway, I said, listen, just fucking call this fucking bloke and I'll give him a fucking card of the head fucking jack, right? They fucking called him. He said, right, I'll be down there shortly. So he just fucking comes straight down. I got the fucking gun back, the fucking money, and we walked out, and they fucking kept him there. I met him a couple of hours later, and I said, what'd they do? I said, I told them, they knew my mate. And I won't say, I can say his name. He's fucking dead now. His name was Walker. Walker Watkins, an ex-fighter and fucking done, used to fight main events.
Mm.
Anyway, he said, Walker was fucking pretty sweet with the police, always had been, which was a bit of a worry. But anyway, he come down and paid him some fucking money, and he got out. So the copper went back and fucking got the money again. You know, so, I mean, that's how fuck, you know. Another time,
wow.
Mickle Hurley's gang, who were the bunch of thieves, they were the only other gang that were organised crime. There was Lenny's gang, Air Gang, and the Mickle Hurley gang.
There was
the Barry McCann gang, but they weren't fucking organised crime. They were paying organised crime to fucking operate the illegal gaming clubs, you know?
Weren't the Hurleys brothers? Wasn't there three of them?
Yeah, there was three. Mickle and Jeffrey, that's right. Just the best thieves you've ever seen. They were taught by the Kangaroo Gang in the old days, right?
Right.
And some of them Kangaroo Gangs blokes used to still get in that company. They used to run around and do all this mad shoplifting or steal trucks in the middle of the city, had all their wigs on and just clean out the trucks that quick and fast. The bloke that walks out of the shop and just fucking open up the back of the truck and put his trolley and be fucking empty.
You know what I mean? Wow. They were
fucking just brilliant, you know? Anyway, they stole the Dior diamond, which was 2,000 carats.
Wow. And
they got it in a big case, and there's two security guards still around, and they still got it. They were fucking brilliant, mate. But then they got into the drug trade, and him and Leslie Marr ended up getting
a
massive big sentence, and then Mickle died of cancer before he could get to court. And Les's a good mate of mine.
They got him on the south coast.
For Balmain, Australia.
And they got him down the south coast, wasn't it? Years ago that he was on the run.
Yeah, he was down to Pope's Place down there.
Yeah. I met him also many, many years ago. Only briefly.
Lovely bloke, Les.
With the way that the system was and you guys had this connection, as you've just spoken of, did it create any paranoia within the group?
That's where the treachery come in.
Yes.
And even, look, the easiest thing when you can, I always say, the easiest thing you'll ever do is fucking pull the fucking trigger on someone. Now, that's the easiest crime you'll ever commit. You know, it's fucking easy. And the worst thing about it is, and as I've explained to people, even a fucking psychiatrist, I said, you go on a high, you know, and it's like you think, well, I'm stuck. There's no one can fucking hurt me. But that's just a false fucking bullshit. People get hooked on the adrenaline of it, see? And that's why they fucking keep doing it. But there was blokes in our team that I put in the team, and I knew they were willing bastards, and they'd go on with it. Well, when they'd done a few things for the team, next fucking minute, and I put them in there, next minute I'd say, listen, you need to go down to so-and-so today and pick up fucking this money and that. Well, why don't you go down and get it?
So
all of a sudden the fucking ego's coming into play now.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think? You're the only kind of blood, don't bleed, mate. Everyone bleeds, buddy. Doesn't matter who you are. Don't be pulling that shit on me. So in the end, I just said, fuck these blokes. After sneaky attempts and my jury, they were trying to kill me along with the fucking police. And I said, I'm fucking out. So I went out on my own, started running my own crew of fucking stick-up men, and not only stick-ups, we did every fucking crime in the fucking book, and I mean every fucking crime, and we fucking just went on with it, and the police in the end from the armed robbery squad had to fucking, they fabricated us, and I said, that's the only way they'll ever pinch us, they'll fabricate us, so they did, so they fabricated us, and they fucked up the case, and we walked away, and actually my wife was at the court that day, and as she's walking out, the commissioner pulled up in a big fucking white car and stuck his head out the window and said, what happened? He said, the black bastard just beat the charges. He just was up in the window, and she fucking took off, you know.
But, oh, wow.
you know, I kept her fucking wide of all that. I never told her any fucking thing, you know, I never have. And I've kept her safe all my life. We've been together 49 years. So
but that's how it should be. You know, I don't believe in ever bring, I mean, even in my life, you know, my wife, I've never brought it into my home or around her. Yes, you know, whatever I've been involved or charged with has been my doings and at home. It doesn't come into the home. It's not a part of, you know, our life.
When I had people hunt me, like I'd go, I'm just going for a walk, love. So I'd piss off for 2 hours. And I'd dead set go for a walk, but I deliberately did it.
Just to see
I
who
always
was...
walked so I could see who was who was watching me.
Yep.
And they come out of the fucking woodwork.
Yep.
I always come out and then I fucking set a trap for them, you know. And then, you know, so, but I'd come back even if they had a crack at me or tried to fucking get me. I'd come back just as calm as fucking bugger, just up in the car. Never stopped me from fucking going out. I still went to the same places. I fucking.
Do you think that actually concerned people, though, the fact that, I mean, look, let's put it in perspective. You're running with a team.
They couldn't get
that,
me.
That's what I mean. You're running with a team, and that team, you must have gotten to the point where you had so much internal knowledge of each other and how each other worked to be able to trust 100%. Each other. You knew in each other, shit, pissed, rooted. Whatever you did, you knew each other well, because there's no team that's that good unless you are tight. To be tight, you've got to be 5'8". Mate, next thing you know, though, you're talking about your team falling apart and then they're trying to put you off. I mean, that in itself is a scary thought, because there's no one closer to you than these people.
It's just a filthy jealousy that runs through people and the greed, mate, and that's all it was with my old partner, unfortunately, and never happened with the next team I ran with, and it never happened with when I ran with Stan the Man. You know, it was just these other mothers.
And they've all passed today. They're no longer around.
No. Can you still see me?
I can see you, you good-looking rooster.
Oh, right on, mate.
You're a handsome old cock, aren't you? Mate, you're looking pretty bloody good for a bloke that's fucking been dodging bullets all these years.
I know when I walk in the fucking pub, I feel pretty fucking good. I look at 70-year-olds down there and I think, fuck, they look 85.
That's what I mean. How many years jailed all up did you, like, have you done?
I've done about 14, mate.
14,
yeah.
Well, they say the jail preserves you, so you look pretty fucking good.
Yeah. But I did eight with a six. That was the biggest one I ever fucking did, because I always, you know, I was either slinging or shit like that. You know?
And you never got into the drugs yourself, as in a user?
God, no. No. Never. Wow. No, and anyone that run in our crew, they were the rules. You don't touch it. The only time they ever got on the loo read was when they had to do surveillance all night.
Yep, just to be awake.
On someone we were fucking boring with.
Yeah.
You know, like during the gang wars from 84 to 80 fucking 7.
How was that period of your life, however? Because for you it was, mate, frontline shit, wasn't it?
Oh, it was hectic stuff, mate. It was, you know, and as I say, you didn't know fucking who was who and fucking... You know, and so you had to really keep your fucking guard up, and you know, as I say to blokes, if you look at the whole theme of things, you see the Barry McCann gang gets fucking wiped out and starts informing on each other and fucking, right, you know, and then fucking except for Tom Domick, and he didn't fucking roll on anyone, but he went to jail for things that that Kathy Flannery brained me for. Like, he went to jail for the attempted murder of Chris Flannery with a machine gun in his house. And that Kathy Flannery got straight on the phone and rang up Ned and said that it was me she just saw. She got up in the court case and fucking give up fucking Dominic and said it was him. He didn't even know what he fucking looked like.
So, did he get pinched, or did he actually he beat the blue?
Yeah, he did 5 fucking years before he fucking beat it. You know, which was a shit go, and they gave him a hard time in there. And, you know, and then Roy Thurger, the other bloke, got around with him, and he got killed out the front of the laundromat, and Barry McCann got killed in the park. Yeah, they all went down. No one from our gang went down. So I guess if you look through the theme of things, at least we come out the victors.
You come out the victors as in, I guess, the crew to be still standing, and as you know, you're known as the last man standing, I guess your crew was exactly that. And I'm not pissing in your pocket, but you're definitely a fucking intelligent man, and, you know, to be still standing, I guess, you'd have to have some nous and intelligence about you, because otherwise you would be, as are the rest of the crew.
I wouldn't be here only for that great awareness and that I keep a calm exterior. I don't try and pretend I'm a fucking tough guy. Even in the prison, I didn't walk around pretending I was a fucking tough guy. I just, if someone caused me fucking problems, I remember a bloke down the remand yard there. He was in for rape, and no one liked the rapist in those days. I fucking still don't. Anyway, I said to this bloke who was down the remand, I won't put him on show because he's still alive.
Mm.
But anyway, I got him down the fucking yard one day, and I walked out. Because I heard him fucking bridging up the bloke, so I'd fucking do this. I'll cut this bloke's head off. So I walked out in the fucking gym area, and I just threw down a fucking knife on the end of the grass area there at the MRC.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, pick that up. I've got one, you've got one. I said, now let's fight till the fucking end, buddy, because I ain't giving fucking in till you're fucking dead.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, he wouldn't pick the fucking thing up. I said, so walk out of there with your tail between your fucking legs.
Like, is this at Long Bay on near 12 and 13 and 12 wing?
Yeah. And I said, now fuck off and don't annoy anyone again and get out of this fucking jail as quick as you can. And that's what he fucking did, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, I fucking meant it. He picked that up. He was fucking going. I mean, I run into fucking blokes fucking slots and just fucking give it to them. I didn't give a fuck, but. Yeah, the shower was probably the most vulnerable place. Oh, you know, God. They want to walk around fucking gangstering up and doing all that shit. What I didn't like was fucking blokes going around bullying blokes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, taking their fucking shoes. Fucking
that was the first fucking thing that I noticed. Like, going into jail, I went in at 18. Everyone goes, oh, don't give up. Mate, I'm fucking wearing my shoes in. I walked in a pair of fucking Air Maxes, right? And I mean that's the original Nike Air Max, not these fucking SA shoes today, right? And... Yep. The one thing I was told is if you do, make sure you have a crack if someone puts it on you, and that you'll be sweet. You know what 100%. I mean? You just got to fucking
100%.
Wear them in there. Don't walk in the battle gear. Don't go in there with fucking Gronk volleys on or whatever. Have a crack, and that's. But that's what I was told. You know what I mean? Mind your own business.
That's right.
The moment you walk into the yard, and for those that don't know, I know back then it's a lot different today, but back then you come into 7 wing reception if you were going to the RIC. Nine wing's a very small yard. It's a tunnel that shoots off, and there's a little table and stuff.
The old drag queen yard.
Yes, well then they had the drag Amanda and Charlene and all that were all in there. I remember all them remember they used to strut around the circle with their little boob tube top closed up and their little footy shorts rolled up. Oh fuck! Don't even get me started. It was terrible. But the amount of blokes that you'd see that literally would come in a pair of Nikes off the street. They were hanging out. Yeah. Most blokes were users. Yeah. The next minute they're turned upside down and they're getting fucking stood over by these big fucking staunch blokes that are just robbing the vault. What I'm saying is they were junkies and they were fucking weak at that stage. But they were vulnerable. Instead of going up to a bloke and having a crack with someone that's going to actually have a crack back, they just went and stood over the weak people.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd pick their mark. They'd see who was coming in. And
it was everyday occurrence there.
I mean, I remember getting out of, when I'd done the solitary, I went to Maitland, and then they said, you can either go to Tamworth or Grafton.
Oh,
I'm
poo.
I'm not going to Grafton, but I'll go to Tamworth, then I'll work my way back to Cessnock, right? So I get to Tamworth, get off the fucking, this is before I know I'm Indigenous.
I was just about to say, that would have been the one thing that got you through up there,
wasn't it? Mate, as soon as I open up the fucking thing, there's not a fucking white bloke in the fucking place. And anyway, the governor knew me well, and his name was Foxwell.
Mm.
He used to be in head office and that. And anyway, he called me into the office. He said, come here. He said, mate, this is the most violent jail per capita of fucking prisoners.
Yep.
And all the blokes who come in here that are fucking, you know, not fucking black fellas end up in
hospital. Yeah.
And I said, well, if that's the case, then you better get some plastic bags fucking ready because they come on with me.
Mm.
Right? So... And that's what happened. They kept fucking nudging me in the yard, nudging my nice shoes, mate, fucking. You know, I'm 47. I've lost about 2.5 fucking stones. home since I've been in solitary, you know. I look like a fucking junkie at that stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me a fucking year or so to fucking put some beef on, you know.
Yep.
So I fucking, I come out of the yard one day and one of them grabbed me from behind and run me across the yard, and he was a real solid bloke, and run me across the yard and hit the wall, and as he hit the wall, I went, whack, I headbutted him backwards, you know, and then I just spun around real quick, picked him up. As I picked him up, I could see the screws just shut the door in the office.
Wow.
I picked him up, fucking dumped him on his fucking head, and then I took a fucking hunk out of his head with me mouth, right?
Yeah.
A big hunk. I'm talking like fucking a hunk, like seen on Midnight Express when he chewed his tongue out. I fucking took this massive fucking hunk. They reckon he looked like a crab on the ground. Fucking
wow.
Upside down, fucking legs going mad and screaming. And everyone cheered them fucking selves, right? So I had to show them I wasn't the fuck around with, you know? So anyway, a fucking week later, I'm in the cell. And next fucking minute, I get up in the morning. I can't fucking see. My eyes are all stuck together. I ended up getting hepatitis C off him.
Oh, yuck.
Hep B.
Fuck, you poor bugger.
But what happened, my antibodies were strong, and I overcome it. So thank fuck for that.
Oh,
but
man.
After that, I was putting blokes in the sleeper hold all the time in the fucking yard, you know, and just fucking knocking them out. Like fucking, so everyone left me alone, mate. I was, you know.
Mate,
so
the stories out of Tamworth were notorious, and it's true. It is true. You know, it was an Indigenous jail. It was there in Broken Hill. If you got off that truck and you're a white fella, you were fucking, you
were gone.
You were gone. There was the fence in the middle, and literally they'd see you come in the main and next day you'd be over the other side.
Yeah.
Well, I think
also what saved me up there, right, there was a big fucking headline come out in the fucking papers there one day about all the gang fucking stuff, you know, all the gang boys.
Oh, was that back when you used to get the paper of the morning? Yeah. You could sit in the yard and read it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was a Sunday, you know, the Herald or something, you know, on the front page, fucking Nettie, me, fucking, you know, everyone, and then they're all going, fuck, that's the old bastard down there. Like, I was 40 fucking four or something then. And they're going, fuck, that's the old bastard. So they all become me mates. You know what I mean? So
I reckon you definitely got shanghaied there, mate, for sure, because there's no reason why in the world they'd send, you know, a white fella up to a fucking an Indigenous jail like that, unless they wanted to square up or see you get got. It doesn't even 100%, mate. There's no other way. Yeah, why 100%. Else? Why else would they do it? Yeah, look, you know what? They used to send you down to the tracks. They'd send you to Graft and they'd send you to Maitland, to Segro and all that, because they were the putrid Segro fucking yards. But to send... you now identify, but, you know, back then you didn't know. A non-Indigenous man to step off a truck in one of the most notorious jails run by the brothers. It was simple as that.
Yeah.
If you were a smoker, you got off and you got your pouch was gone. You got nothing.
Oh, fucking straight away.
You got nothing. And they'd fucking four, five, six, seven out. Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's right. They wouldn't give a fuck.
Wow.
You know, but one thing I always give them, at least they all stuck together.
You know, I've always said that. They still do.
The white bloke would get up to the fence as the fucking van pulls up and look there and go, nah, fuck him. We won't get him. He's a junkie. We won't talk to him. He's no good. We'll get that bloke. You know what I mean? And then where the all the boys, the brothers, would get down there and go, hey, come up here, brother. Come up. Wouldn't give a fuck what they'd done, what they were in for.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they fucking stuck together. So I ended up taking my hat off to him. I said, fucking way to be.
You got to give it to him in the system, you know, like, and it, you know, it's always been that way. The brothers stick by each other. You don't fuck with a brother. It's as simple as that.
No, exactly.
And if you do, you deal with the consequences.
Well, wherever you go, they're going to get you.
100%, you know, and I think...
You know, whatever jail you go to, they'll get you.
Oh, without doubt. Without doubt. You get out of jail and life's very different for you, but still, mate, there's plenty of out there that want to take you out. Let's talk a bit more about a few more attempts.
Mate, well, I had four off, you know, that crew that I was running with for 10 years, Nettie's gang, through Flannery and twice on two occasions, a couple of the other blokes in the crew. About four attempts. One of the reasons I told you was about Drury, of course. So was the other attempt. And that Cath Flannery was the driving force behind it because she knew, like I remember one night having a talk about the gang wars. And I didn't talk in front of women. I don't. It's just me fucking rule.
Yep, yep.
Anyway, next minute she's sitting there in the conversation, so I got up and fucking walked away.
Mm.
So everyone's fucking looking at me like, fucking, you're a rude prick, you know. Anyway, she came over and she said, can I just ask you something? I said, yeah, what do you want to know? She said, how many people have you killed? I said, if I killed anyone, you'd be the last gun I'd tell.
Well, that's
what I said to her.
Interesting question, eh?
So she walked over. She walks over and tells Chris in his ear, next thing he's chewing on his fucking bourbon glass. Well, I thought that was supposed to frighten me or something, but I fucking didn't. Anyway, but I remember on the way home that night, I put him in the front of the car and her in the back.
Mm.
He said, no, I'll sit there. I said, no, you fucking won't. Sit the fucking front here. Anyway, I sat him in the front as we drove along and I said, listen, the only reason you fucking want to get involved in all this fucking shit is to fucking, you're taking over something that is already fucking finished, mate.
Yeah.
But you want to fucking kill Lenny. You want to kill fucking George. You want to fucking kill, and you're working for George and getting a wage off him.
Mm.
Right? But you're going to take over fucking something and you want us to get involved with you into this fucking silly war with that's happened with Domingan and all them trying to fucking stand up for their illegal casinos. And, you know, that there was a couple left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The era was fading out.
Hmm. The era was fucking going, mate. Yeah. There was TABs, brothels were legal, fucking everything was fucking legal.
Yeah.
You know, except for armed robberies and fucking drugs.
They're still not legal.
You know what I mean? So yeah, they ended up all getting into it and all that, and then the greed set in there, and then they got fucking killed and wiped out each other over greed. But then all of the attempts then came, after that, came through this other bloke who run with fucking Ned for a while, who in the book I call the clone because he was small and he was exact clone of fucking Ned.
Really?
He was a treacherous little cunt, right?
Yeah.
So he had a little bit of smarts about him. I'll give him that. Always giving him credit where credit's due.
Yep.
And he's done a couple of good goes and come away with it. But he wasn't very clever before that. He did plenty of fucking jail for silly fucking robberies he was doing with another fucking maniac. And anyway, and I used to go and visit him and fucking we were friends.
Mm.
Anyway, I went and seen him when he started to run with Ned and I said, listen, just understand, you should get out of his company because he's a treacherous cunt. You'll end up wanting to kill him. And that's exactly what happened anyway. He ended up wanting to pot him himself. But then he left there and went with Mickle Hurley's gang and then he virtually was Mickle had cancer. And so he started gathering the information of who all the people he had, Mickle had on side and the crims he had that used to bring in gear for him and whatever.
Yeah.
He got onto them and then he ended up stealing them.
Ah.
You know? And then he went to the Crime Commission, right? And then he got them on side. Well, he'd already given information when he was at the bay to the fucking police about what Ned was saying in the fucking thing and that I was going up there as well into this inquiry. But he knew what I was going to say. And I said to him in the yard, we should fucking finish him off. I told him that, you know. And he said, oh, I just don't want to be involved. But then next minute he's fucking out there, he saw an opening for a smart lad. And next minute he's outside fucking getting all these accolades off the fucking jacks because he's fucking in there fucking helping them, see? So,
wow.
So he sees an opening for a smart lad and fucking joins them. So then he decided on his fucking behalf while he was in there, and I knew it. That's when I had that dream. That was the first attempt.
Yep. Yep.
Right? So that was the fifth attempt on my life. Then it went the sixth, then the seventh. And it kept fucking happening and happening and happening. And I went, fuck. There was about three attempts up in Newcastle when I was living up there, Lake Macquarie.
Yeah, I know Lake Macquarie. My grandparents were there for, and yes. Bonald's Bay and Lake Macquarie.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Well, that's around the other side of the lake.
Yes, that's right. Bay. Yeah, Fusser Fern and all up through there.
So I went, rightio, and I said, fuck this. I said to my wife, we're going back to Sydney. And so I went back there until, that was 97 when I got out of the can.
Yep.
And then I went back, I came back here in about 2006, something like that. That was after all the last attempt. Well, in the end, they ended up hiring this fucking big gang. And this big gang were fucking sweet because of the connection he had with the Crime Commission. So they were going to be sweet to fucking take me out of the play. And I chased a few of them. I used to deliberately go on me walk, bang, fucking see them. Then I'd pull up, I'd go around home, hop in my car, drive around to where they were, take photographs of their car, photographs of them. You know, I'd deliberately fucking do it to let them know.
The surveillance.
I even rung them up and told them. I rung up there, I went out and found them at a factory out in the western suburbs. I won't say where it is to give them up, but I went out there and I fucking just fucking rung them up. And I said, you're the bloke with the number plate, blat, 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 blat. And a black one, and then you've got a red one, blap, 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 blap. And he went,
yeah. His ass would have been going, blap, 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 blap.
And I said, and if you come around to my fucking home again, I'll fucking blow your fucking head off.
Yeah.
Now, I said, you're working for a fucking dog, mate. Don't you understand that? You're working for a police informer. And if you don't know that, mate, there's something fucking wrong with you anyway. They ended up coming like fucking 10 out, mate, they came. They had fucking Ugg boots on. They had fucking shaved bodies. They had bull fucking heads. They looked like a real pro fucking team. They were fucking right on the ball. Don't worry about that. But I kept fucking getting them. And then one day, I was just walking down the fucking street and I was going to cross this creek where I used to go. At this at West Pennadills. I'd moved to West Pennadills. And as I'm walking down, there's a bloke leaning on the back of a big white LTD.
Yeah.
One of them hire cars. Mm. And they owned it, right? They owned the company.
Yep.
So as I'm going down, he's leaning on it. And I was going to go straight ahead, then cross the creek, and that's what he was waiting for, to give him the fucking signal I was coming. But instead, I turned around where he was and walked into that street. And he said, he looked at me and he said, just doing time, mate, you know what I mean? And I stopped and I said, just doing time.
What?
I said, you just give yourself away, mate, who you fucking are.
What a dickhead.
I said, you meant to say, I'm just wasting time.
I'm just doing time. Right? Standing on a fucking car.
So he nearly shit himself. So they were European gang. They turned up fucking 10 out. And fucking, I had my daughter with me. Now, my car was bulletproof. I had a bulletproof Merc, right? Mm. The windows were bulletproof.
Yeah.
And, and they were fucking like that fucking thick, you know? And anyway, it was a Thursday night. My wife's out in the car. Well, usually I'm in Balmain or somewhere like that. And they're waiting for me to come home. So they're patrolling the area. They're hiding in houses close to me. They're waiting for me to pull in the driveway, right? And I thought, I reckon they know I'm already, because they pulled up beside me one day on the expressway and I fucking was nearly going to jam it. But they wanted me to, he was trying to talk to me, wanted me to drop the window and I only
dropped it about
an inch.
Yep.
You know, because I thought there was someone in the back seat going to jump
spray
up and go whack, whack, whack. So I just, fucking up, I went at him and then he took off, right?
Yeah.
So this is coming down the coast from, up the coast, had a big property I was involved in with another bloke. That's another fucking story. But it was a resort, a fucking resort where I got ripped off. But anyway, so I fucking come down. As I get down there and I'm starting to think, well, it's probably fucking him, right? But all the homework I've done, I knew where it fucking come from. So next fucking minute, it's that crew. They turn up this fucking night. And what they used to use was Sheilas all the time, and the Sheilas would be on the telephone. This is what the European gangs always do. They've got Sheilas on the phone, they're doing the text, and here he comes, there he is, he's out the front. Well, they're not expecting me to be home, and then this Sheila walks down the street, who I've seen about five times. I knew she wasn't from there, And my dog goes up. He fucking, Jack Russell, he fucking goes and puts two at her.
Yeah.
So I just pulled it back. Anyway, she didn't say a word. Next minute, this big fucking bloke runs from the other side of the street because, like, there's pitch black out in front of my house. And that was in Riley Street, West Pennant Hills. Pitch fucking black. Not a street light out the front. So as he's fucking running across the road, Benny Jerry's, I'm just standing there. I'm on the fucking gutter already, just standing there. I haven't got a gun on me. The gun's inside the fucking house, right? Next minute, he fucking turned around on a sixpence and just bolted down the fucking street, started punching like branches of a tree. And I said, that won't do you any good, you fucking dub. You know, so I've screamed out at him. So I go inside and I said to my daughter, go downstairs. I went upstairs and I got out a big bay window and I said, go downstairs in the garage and you'll find a cricket bag. Just go and get the cricket bag.
Mm.
So she comes up with this cricket bag. She said, what's in that bag? Mm. I opened it up and I put about fucking 10 guns on the fucking bed. I said, they were fucking in there. I said, you sit in the corner. So then I had to ring my wife and say, don't come home.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a problem.
Don't come home for fuck's sake, because I'll fucking give it to you in the fucking driveway.
Yeah.
So I said, you just wait for me. So she can't believe what's going on, you know. So anyway, so I mean, she believed it. But anyway, so I got my daughter sitting in the corner and she said, Dad, I'll go. She's pretty fucking willing little bastard, right?
Yeah.
And she said, I'll fucking go down, hop in my car, it's in the garage, and drive around. I said, we'll see if there's a number plate, this one, that one, that. So off she goes down the drive and they're all in the fucking bunch together talking.
Wow.
And she comes back and she said, that's their number plates, Dad, you were spot on.
Wow.
And I went, right, fucking got them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so what I did, they're all fucking getting themselves in position. As I say, they got ugly boots on so they can sneak across the grass, and right? Well, now they know I'm home, right? So they fucking, I see one bloke sneak up the street, got both hands in both pockets, right? So he's got two fucking guns at least. So he's fucking holding on to them, running up the fucking street hiding. And I went, right, fuck this. So I said to my daughter, I said, if they come into the yard, I'm just going to pull them. You just stay downstairs and then just hit the roller door or and I'll pull them into the fucking garage one by one. I won't give a fuck, right? So then I... Hey, when I realised how fucking many there is,
yeah,
you know, I'm going, ah, there's a fucking army here.
Wow.
You know? So I open up bay windows and I just went, you know how noise travels of a night.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I went, Bob, get your fucking head down. Why don't they come in the front yard, Peter? Just hang
yeah, yeah, right. Front. I'm with you. Right? You've got a team yourself. So they're half pie thinking, hang on a sec. He's not on his own. Yeah.
All you could hear was
cars taking off.
They're fucking gone. You know? So that was really the last time. That was about the 20th fucking time.
Wow.
But you gotta think that all these times they're not letting go at me, but they're about to, but I'm fucking them up.
Yeah, you've brought them out. They didn't realise they'd been fucking brought under cover.
I've been shot in the leg. I've been shot in the fucking head. I've been fucking stabbed. I've been fucking hit with iron bars and bats. And,
you've had your hair taken off from fucking shot.
Me fucking, the me fucking, fucking gone on the top. I must be just still growing.
You know what I love when I look at your face, mate? I just see, you know, like most people would be still losing sleep. And look, I've got no doubt in my mind that there's not shit on your mind when you go to bed at night. Look, every one of us that's lived a life of some sort like that, mate, look, there's always something in the back of your mind. Look, I just accept that you just never know whose path you might have crossed in the past that, you know, might carry a grudge against you for the rest of your life. You just don't know. So,
mate,
you know, the end of the day.
There's still a bloke out there with a fucking big grudge on me. But
there you go.
You know, and the only reason that the bloke is still fucking... walking around and is because of the protection he had from the Crime Commission, he's still got it. So, you know, look, they were walking into the pubs at the time because they knew I was going to hunt him. They were walking into the pub when I was getting around with Stan the Man Smith. They were walking into the pub and fucking just emptying the fucking cigarette fucking, because I used to smoke in them days. I'd give it up when I was 50.
Yeah.
So I must have been about 49 at the time, right? A couple of years after I was out of the nick. So I fucking pick up, they pick up the ashtray and then just put it in a plastic bag and walk straight out of the pub.
Get the butts.
And I went, wait a fucking minute. He's not a fucking bar. Mm. So I'd follow him out and I'd see him fucking up the road, up in the car and off he'd go.
Yeah.
So I rang up the crime reporter from the Sydney Morning that I had on site and fucking blew it up in the fucking papers. Well, because of that, about three or four fucking blokes got out of the nick out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's it, they were trying to set it. That was their new way of fucking fabricating because the Royal Commission had fucked all the old verbal. Everything had to be done on camera now, and they thought, well, how are we going to fuck them up now? Well, that was going to be DNA, wasn't it?
It's so true what you're saying. Yeah. I remember when we were younger, we got a couple of hotties, and one of them we got pinched for. McCoy got pinched. And why he got pinched, because obviously we never left Prince is what we believed, but he left a fucking cigarette butt in the car. He didn't realize it, but he must have dropped it out of his, however it was. But he got pinched on this blue, and the whole blue revolved around a cigarette butt.
The cigarette butt.
And it was 100%. His prints on the fucking cigarette butt. Unbelievable.
Right. Exactly. And that's all they do. So if he was found dead, they just put that beside it.
Yeah, and your DNA's there. No. Beat
this
that.
If I calmly had a bunger after it. As I probably would have.
While sitting down reading the paper and having a cup of coffee. And then just casually going about my business. Your Honour, I wasn't there.
but in all honesty, when you say to me, I bet you had sleepless nights and things like that. Look, I can honestly fucking say, and I don't say this to be a tough guy or some fucking... I always slept fucking well. I think about what I was going to fucking do, and then I just trust my instinct. I trust that consciousness of mine. If there was ever a fucking thing going to happen, you know, I'd get a warning, mate, of some sort. I always got a warning. Yeah. I'll tell you, one day I was walking across the Ryde Bridge, and I said to myself as I'm walking, I'm trying to think like that bloke would be thinking now, right? So I knew that he was rather a clever bloke, right? And so as I'm walking over the Ryde Bridge, I'm walking up to Stan Smith's place, Gladesville. And I was at Concord in Austral Road, Concord, right near the hospital. So as I'm walking, I walk through the Kokoda track where they tried to get me before. They tried to already set me up there. And then I just fronted the fucking bloke. I just fucking went at him. I didn't even have a gun on me. I just put me in the bum bag and fucking went at him. And he fucking took off. Right? So, you know, they don't want gunfights. They want to fucking shoot you in the back. You know what I mean? But anyway, getting away from the story. So I'm walking across the fucking bridge. And I'm trying to think what this bloke be thinking. And I'm going, no, you know, well, I'd be fucking sitting off. Well, that's where I walk over there then. When I'm looking there, I look out and I see this bloke sitting in a kayak, right? And he's got, you know, like the Japs used to wear in the fucking army in the Philippines. And you'd see the hat with the flap on the back to protect them from the sun. You know, you'd see the kayakers wearing them all the time. And here's this bloke just sitting there watching this area. And I thought, that's fucking him. 100% it's fucking him. So... a couple of weeks later, I'm walking with me fucking dog, and I said to me mate, who was a fucking SAS commando, I said, listen, can we get some fucking Freudian bugs and some little fucking plants and equipment here and cameras? And so we set up this little plan, and I said, this is where, if anywhere he's going to get me, it's going to be fucking here. Where all these massive big bamboo fucking things were. They were about 30 foot high. And a lot of people used to take their dogs down there to swim, but not early in the morning. So I thought, if he's going to get me, and that's where he'd been sitting in his kayak, and I said 100 to 1 at him, and that was my instinct. So we set it up, and then one day I'm walking along there. Well, you know, a couple of days fucking later, I'm walking along that fucking area, and I seen this bloke walk past me. I thought, he looks like one of his cousins, because that's who he got around with, his cousins and stuff. Anyway, I just stopped and waited for him to look back, but he didn't look back, the bloke. And I kept going. Well, as I'm walking towards the bamboo, all I can see is this hat with the flap, right?
Sticking out from around the bamboo.
I'm fucking tooled up. I mean, I could have just emptied straight in the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know who it was at the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to understand that. I just fucking guessing the tin. So instead of walking in front of the bamboo, what he was hoping I was going to do and continue on my walk around the fucking trail, right, I walked behind him. And I said to Oscar, my dog, Oscar De La Hoya, I used
Oscar
to call him. Because he was a tough little cat, you know. So I said, Oscar, I said, get up here. I said, look out for the dog who's in there. Right? So when I looked down, here's the kayak stuck up in the branch of the tree, right? And he's fucking down right near the water, fucking ready to go. He's ready to fucking dive in and fucking swim if he has to.
Fuck!
Right? So what I did, I walked straight up the fucking towards this. It was a big drug rehab place there. I walked up towards there, and then I just waited for a couple of minutes, and down comes this big blue Mercedes with fucking tinted window. They fucking pulled up, and they were all fucking having a chat together. Well, I was going in that, and they were going to cut me fucking off, right? But I got them all on tape. I got them all fucking talking, mate. They fucking halfway bagged him and everything.
No way.
Yeah. Before he walked out of the car, I said, I bet he hadn't fucking got this fucking flat. He's fucking, hell. Next minute he's sitting there saying, oh, he come here, he come behind me, fucking. I had him fucked, mate. Right?
Wow.
So I let him know then. I let him know. And I said, well, no, I fucking got anything on you. You want to fucking use your copper fucking mates to fucking follow me? Right? You do what you fucking like, but someone's got hold of this. You make your decision. He needed me out of the fucking way, mate. But then we found out Nanny, me and someone were talking about this not too long ago. They were to kill me. They were to kill Mickle Hurley, who had cancer, but he wasn't quite fucking gone at this day.
Yeah, ready to go. Yeah.
Just come on in pretty fucking quick. And then and two other blokes. Now, they were all going to fucking go. Well, then one of them, Danny Landini, who's dead now, he come and see me. Henry Charles Landini was an Italian gangster. And he come and seen me and he said, now, listen, hello. He said, you wouldn't believe what happened to Mick all the other night. They fucking turned up and they went to fucking get him. And that bloke we were talking about before was with him.
Mm.
And it was the ex-footballer.
Yep.
So as they fucking, P. Jerry, he's the one who's alert, right? Mick's not, he's pissed walking out of the pub, but P. Jerry to him. And here was two Sheilas, right? Same thing, doing the texting, bang, bang, bang. And here's this other bloke over on the corner with the bald head and the shaved fucking body and doing all the stretching and, right? Next fucking minute they've tried to get him, well, fucking Lazar's got him away, you know? So he got through the break. But it was when they come and seen me and we started to put our heads together, I went, that's the same fucking crew.
Wow.
But then we found out, you know, under that Mark Standen.
Yes.
Who was the assistant director of the Crime Commission. He was the one involved. But there was other coppers there that knew, because one morning one of them run past me when I lived at West Pendant Hills. And it was a woman. And I saw her early walk past another detective and they're looking at the house. And then next time I see her, because they know I go for a walk at a certain time, right? So as I go for the walk, I'm coming along. She's jogging along the road in her shorts and fucking, right? Big tall Sheila she was. Anyway, as I'm going, she gives me a wave, like a little fucking sly one. I went, here you go, love, all right. I fucking thought, she would just fucking walk past me house, this fucking Sheila. Anyway, I get down to the corner, only 200 yards away. She was running that way, and I'm coming this way. I get around the corner, and next minute she's jogging up past me again. She said, be aware, will you? That's all. I said, what do you mean? She said, that's all I can tell you.
She'll give you the heads up.
You know, so anyway, At the end of the day, mate, they pulled the fucking plug, and I said, "Ah, fuck it, I've had enough." So, you know, so I pulled the plug and fucking just stopped fucking really going back there.
I don't know whether I was just blessed to be around, you know, the end of the era for all you, you knockabout blokes, and I was a young bloke that was introduced to a lot of you and was managed to remain friends with a lot of you, you know what I mean, and have that genuine connection. And, you know, you would see that the respect and the time given by yourselves was never easy, and it was always something that you were weary of. And all, everybody could see the way that you guys were humble, moved, but also very deadly. And that's the only way I'm going to put it, because you just wouldn't fuck up and cross your paths. But, you know, hearing the stories of Notoriety and the names that we know of in the past, that have the gangsters that have passed, they wouldn't blink in an eyelid to put you in your fucking grave. You know what I mean? Or just turn it straight on and you know, hit a bank or fucking arm a guard or whatever. It's just always, and this is why I use the term gentleman, because you were all gentlemen. Still are. You know, Donnie, mate, yourself, I won't sit here and rattle off other names. There's a few that we both know about that we've talked about before. And you're just gentlemen. And, I mean, people may listen to this podcast and say, oh, yeah, but they're fucking criminals. They've done this. They've been involved. Yeah, cool. But that was just the life that you lived.
Before you bag anyone, mate.
Yes, and that was the life that you lived. You know, to be able to be even here having this conversation today, and you know, like I feel grateful that you've been able to give me the time to sit down. I mean, who would have thought 28 years later, a man that I did look up to you, because I was a street kid that, you know, was sexually abused, physically abused, and I knew you were, that's right.
I knew it all.
Yeah, and but you're a very strong man, and when I say strong, your persona, just you were fucking strong. Nobody, if they didn't know you, would have ever known who you were.
No.
Does that make sense? Because you never walked around with your chest out, never walked around knocking blokes out, robbing people, standing over people. It wasn't your go. Nor was it the go of fucking any of the other gentlemen that I had the pleasure of meeting and still know some of. But, you know, flick the switch and it needs to be done, it's done. There's no fucking coming back from the commitment.
100%.
You know, and mate, I'm just grateful that, you know, I'm able to sit down here and have this time with you. You've put the book together. You know, life has changed for you. It's slowed right down. You're enjoying your life. You just being Joe Citizen, and life's good. Life's good, mate. Life's good, isn't it?
Yes, it is, mate. Yeah.
Your story that you're doing, and quote me if I'm wrong, is more not for the clout, not for the glory. Those stories aren't there to be fucking told. It's all about sharing a generational time that nobody else will ever know about unless it's shared. And I believe that it's not there to glorify, but more to warn others that this is the only way it's going to end if you choose to go down this path. There you go.
I say that in the book. I say it on me. Social media podcasts, I do, I do little stints every couple of days. I tell them a little bit about stuff, you know, just stuff out of me book you know, but I often say to the young blokes, mate, don't fucking, you know, fuck all the glory, go and get a fucking job, be a fucking plumber, earn a fucking living, go to the mines, fucking do something. You can have all the good stuff in life, mate, without all this fucking bullshit.
And how good is it, Abbo, being able to watch you? I mean, I see you light up when you speak about your daughter, you know, as a father. I'm a father too, and, you know, I've got a lot hanging over my shoulders at the moment. My children have seen many, many years ago. My oldest, who's 23, you know, he went, and my daughter, they went many years without me. But, you know, it's one of them things that once the penny drops, and you realise that, and you talk about, you know, the people you were the closest to, your team, start to implode, and you start to see cracks in the fucking walls, and you start to realise what shit cunts they are, and really, they're only out for themselves, and they're going to fuck you over. You know, like, I'm a bit like yourself. I'm happy to walk on my path these days, mate, and if someone wants to take me out, mate, then take me out. Just make sure you get me and get me good.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all I ask. Just, if you're going to do it, just finish it, because at the end of the day... I'm not a threat to you and I'm not a threat to anybody else. I'm just humble. Right. I go to work. I'm a dad and I love my life. And I love doing this because this helps people to not go down these paths. Your book is there for somebody to read. Very true stories and a story from a man like yourself. And once again, I'm not pissing in your pocket, but you're still fucking here to talk about your journey. And that's saying something.
Yeah. Fucking good to be here still.
Where can we get your book?
Mate, all we got to do is go on my website to atreacherouslife.com.
So if they say that they've seen this on the Clink, can you give them a little bit of a signature?
Oh, 100%, mate.
There you go, guys. There you go. That's definitely a book to actually put on your shelf. Yeah. Abba, I want to ask you, and I ask all the guests, if there's something that you could leave behind as a message to this generation or the next generation of what you've learned and had to live with, whether it be a word or a paragraph or a sentence, what would Gray and Abbo Henry say?
I think that one of the things that I always say to young blokes, especially the ones who seem to be fucking, you know, that many kids are depressed today and fucking on the neck themselves and fucking take fucking gear. And I always just say to them, mate, this, you are the master of your own mind. You're the only one who thinks within it. So start fucking thinking. Better thoughts and better things will fucking come, son. You don't want to travel down this fucking road. Sounds all fucking fun and glory and fucking big money. And yeah, there's plenty of that. But there's plenty of shit times too, and your family suffer fucking severely.
It's one of those things that you do often ponder about. And as you say, you know, once you're in there, you're there doing a routine. It's just what you just do your time. But outside, you know, they've still got to provide. They've still got to provide, look after you because they're taking your phone calls. They're hearing, you know, the highs and the lows. They're doing the mum and the dad job, trying to keep food on the table, roof over their head, put money in your account so you've got fucking buy-ups or whatever you need, keep your legal bills.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. And at the end of the day, you come into this world screaming and kicking, and that's the only way that you're going to go out, and you're going to do it pretty well on your fucking own, because all your 5'8"s and all your coeys, they're not going to be there.
All going to go, son.
They're not going to be there.
No way in the world.
I want to say, mate, you and I, I look forward to keeping in touch, mate, because it's... It's been a lot of years, and look... I'm grateful once again for your time, and thank you very much for coming on the Clink and sharing this story of redemption. I think it's a very powerful story. Treacherous Life, guys. You make sure that you get the book. Graham Abbo Henry, you've been on the Clink, mate. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best in the world, brother.
Pleasure, mate.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.